broadcasting worldwide on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network, live from the heart of the nation's capital. This is Morning Glory.
We thank God for Friday, the 22nd of September, the first day of fall, and give glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to people of goodwill. We praise you, we bless you, we adore you, we glorify you, we give you thanks for your great glory. Lord God, Heavenly King, O God, Almighty Father, Lord Jesus Christ, only begotten Son, Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, you take away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. You take away the sins of the world, receive our prayer. You are seated at the right hand of the Father, have mercy on us. For you alone are the Holy One, you alone are the Lord, you alone are the Most High Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in the glory of God the Father. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Originating from our home at Guadalupe Studios in Washington, D.C., this is Morning Glory on EWTN Radio. Good morning on your Friday, the 22nd of September. I'm Brian Patrick with Gloria Purvis.
Good morning.
Sean Pierce filling in for Elisa Murphy. Please keep Elisa and her family in prayer today as they send her mom off to eternal life. There's a massive Christian burial for Mrs. Murphy today at St. Thomas More in Rhode Island. Our godly counsel this morning is now the prior of the Dominican House of Studies, Father Aquinas Gilbo. Father, would you lead us in prayer?
Yes, let us pray. Look upon us, O God, creator and ruler of all things, and that we may feel the working of your mercy, grant that we may serve you with all our heart. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
And Gloria has a timely thought from Mother Angelica.
I think mornings are very important. They set you off to either a good day or a bad day. Concentrate on the Lord in the mornings by preparing for communion or just simply talking to him. If you find yourself distracted about what you're going to do today or thinking, this disturbs me or that disturbs me, then it's important that you bring your mind gently back.
That thought process is what inspired Morning Glory.
All right,
we're helping
Brian.
You do that each day here on Morning Glory. We've been on the air for 2 years now, and hopefully plenty more to come. We thank you for spending some time with us. 2 minutes after the hour in the news, Pope Francis is one of the first world leaders ratifying a new United Nations treaty prohibiting further development of nuclear weapons. More than 40 countries signed the treaty during a ceremony at the United Nations in New York on Thursday. Archbishop Paul Gallagher, Secretary for Relations with States for the Holy See, signed on behalf of the Vatican City State. That treaty prohibits a full range of nuclear weapons-related activities, development, testing, production, and the use of any nuclear weapons. Does Pope Francis question President Donald Trump's commitment to life? Francis recently commented that President Trump presents himself as a man who is pro-life. The Holy See's Secretary for Relations with States, Archbishop Paul Gallagher, says he believes the Pope was encouraging the president to approach the immigration issue as a life issue.
He was saying that the president should be sensitive to the fact that in migration policy, you have to be aware of the impact upon families. The family is the fundamental unit of life in society.
That is from an exclusive interview with EWTN News Nightly's Lauren Ashburn.
You know, I guess sometimes when I hear these comments from the Holy Father, I'm like, did they get it all right in context? So I don't know. Was he really questioning the president's pro-life leanings or not? I don't know. It seems...
Archbishop Gallagher says he wasn't.
Oh, well, there we go. We'll go with that.
Pope Francis meets with his Sex Abuse Advisory Commission. That's a group of outside experts who advise him and the church on best practices to protect children. EWTN News Nightly Vatican correspondent Juliet Lindley says the Holy Father spoke very frankly.
Now, Pope Francis, perhaps for the first time, admitted that the church was late in dealing with the sex abuse issue, and he reiterated the zero tolerance pledge and the fact that he had approved new rules to sanction bishops who turned a blind eye to pedophiles.
The commission, led by Boston Cardinal Sean O'Malley, includes clergy, religious, and lay people. In its 3 years of existence, the group has held child protection educational workshops in dioceses around the world.
I know here in the U.S., at least my experience in going from diocese to diocese, if you have anything to do with children or young adults, young or teens, you need to have what they call that VIRTUS training, where you're certified, you've gone through a training about child abuse, you've had an FBI background check, the state's check, your fingerprints run. So a lot of dioceses are not like slacking on this.
Yeah, I am VIRTUS trained to simply sing at Mass because I was told that young people see anyone who's participating in Mass at that level as a leader. So we have to be, that's
background,
part of what it's required, Father.
And all of us in the Dominican Order go through something similar for men religious. And we have ongoing formation in terms of this, so updates 4 times a year.
Yeah, it was very eye-opening for me just having gone through the training before I had a child. Now that I have a child, all those things that they say are red flags are consistently in my mind whenever I take her somewhere.
Yeah, it's important. Mm-hmm. 5 minutes after the hour and 4 days after a powerful earthquake devastated parts of Mexico City, the government there says most of the power knocked out by the quake has now been restored. Mexican President Enrique Peña Nieto says rescuers will continue their work as long as they believe people may be alive in the rubble. The official death toll rose to 273 in Mexico cities and several nearby states. It turns out the heart-wrenching drama of a young girl trapped in the rubble of a school was all for naught. Officials now say the girl never existed. They cite zealous but mistaken volunteers who made a Herculean rescue effort fueled by hope and adrenaline. As Puerto Rico and the Caribbean islands begin to recover from Hurricane Maria, Admiral Kurt Kidd says U.S. forces are trying to rescue Americans stuck on the island nation of Dominica.
We understand there may be anywhere from 1,500 to 3,000 American citizens potentially in Dominica. So part of this is just understanding the size and the scope of the problem.
In the U.S. territory of Puerto Rico, journalist Joe Torres says the landscape is marred by destruction.
The main highways look more like obstacle courses as cars and trucks drive over power lines, around fallen trees, and through intersections with no traffic signals.
President Trump promises to visit Puerto Rico. No specific date has been set for that visit yet. Oregon's governor praises a new state law requiring insurance companies to fully cover abortions with no copay from patients. Opponents say the law forces taxpayers, even those who morally object to abortion, to assume some of the costs. Lois Anderson, executive director of Oregon Right to Life, says they are not giving up the fight.
We are working very hard with some very smart lawyers to figure out every possible way that we can fight this law in the courts, whether it's administrative rules, whether it's in the legislature, and on the ground, actually, with individual people counseling women who are pregnant.
Lois Anderson of Oregon Right to Life. A bishop from the Democratic Republic of Congo pleads with the U.S. Congress for help in healing that country's political stalemate. Congo's president sparked a constitutional crisis, failing to step down at the end of his term. Congolese Bishop Nicolas Jomo says the country's bishops tried to broker peace, and now they're looking for outside help.
The United States is the first power in the world that they have a responsibility to help. We are hoping that they will continue to push our government so that the elections could have take place as soon as possible.
Diplomatic efforts to restrain North Korea take another step forward, President Trump announcing new financial sanctions.
Our new executive order enhances the Treasury Department's authorities to target any individual or entity that conducts significant trade in goods, services, or technology with North Korea.
Addressing the UN General Assembly this week, President Trump urged member nations to step up the fight against North Korea's aggression. Former presidential adviser Sebastian Gorka says he helped write that speech.
It's a clarion call for the United Nations to return to what it originally was. United Nations should concentrate on true measures to provide stability and safety for all its members.
North Korea's leader Kim Jong-un dismisses President Trump as deranged, saying he will pay dearly for his threats.
Lord, what does that mean? I'm just like, y'all get to confession today if you have not been yet. Oh my goodness.
Okay. We're going to talk to Father about his new role as prior, but first a little bit of sports. Chris Bryant slams a 2-run homer in the 10th inning as the Cubs beat Milwaukee 5-3, taking a 4.5-game lead over the Brewers in the NL Central race. The Cubs were swept by Milwaukee at Wrigley Field earlier this month. And Colorado's 3-0 loss to San Diego keeps the Rockies just 1 game ahead of Milwaukee for the second NL wild card berth. St. Louis is 1.5 games back. Clayton Richard struck out 8 to lead the Padres to a 3-0 shutout of the Rockies. 10 after the hour now on Morning Glory, and we've talked about it throughout the week, Father, in your absence, but now that you're here, congratulations on your position as the prior of the Dominican House of Studies.
Yeah, my ears were ringing all week. Yeah. So
we're trying to decide whether we should call you the Deep Pride Dominican.
Right.
I like that. No, I want to thank you and everyone listening for the best wishes and prayers. There's been a lot of outpouring of support and encouragement by people on Facebook and Twitter, and so I'm grateful for that. And the details of your conversation certainly made their way back to me at the House of Studies.
Did they tell you that I said you look like you could be my kid?
He said you look so young.
I said obviously age isn't a factor because you're a young man.
Youngster.
I'll be 41 next.
That's
next
pretty
month.
Young. So yeah. I have a daughter older than that.
Yeah.
I do. Yeah. No. Heather's 43.
So, I mean, what's the role of a prior? So the prior in a Dominican priory, he's the religious superior of the house. And so the one who leads the community in all of the religious liturgical exercises. But he's also, just in concrete human terms, just the manager of the place, too. Everything dealing with finance and the buildings and employees.
So you're an administrator
and
now.
Yes. So that, it's been an incredible week of grace, though, because one of the things since being elected last week is that I see the house in a completely, different light, through a different set of eyes. And not just the house, but also the members of the community, too. And that's been deeply edifying, I see a different aspect of their lives now that I'm somewhat responsible for them in both human and spiritual terms, and that's just been. It just shows it's just seen a different way the goodness of our life and the goodness of our community. And
Father Dominic is hoping that you get the deep fryer fixed.
Yes.
Well, that's one. It was one of the first things I saw the morning after the election.
Hey, maybe
we had our fryer's busted.
Our maintenance guy and a big old wrench, with the fryer in the kitchen. And so,
is it accurate to think of you like the big daddy for the whole place? I mean, you have the kind of responsibilities and. I mean, you're like their father,
that's
really.
Right. And it's a formation community, too. Yeah. So we have, 40 of our student brothers there. It's to make sure they go to class and say their prayers and read their books and
so
pass their tests.
If Father Petrie gets out of line, I can call you up and say,
that's right.
Get your man straight. Okay.
That's true. Yeah. And I can do something about that.
All right. I like it.
We laugh and joke about all the details, but this is a serious role as a spiritual leader. But you have these fellow Dominicans as a family that you've known these guys for a long time.
That's right. And in just the form of our governance, too. It isn't that I've all of a sudden become the dictator of the house.
Right. Would never do that.
We have a system of government that's very democratic. In fact, we just had community meetings last night where, we had discussions, get to consensus. We had to take votes on a couple things. And the prior really is somewhat obedient himself to what we call the chapter, the community. So decisions made at the chapter level, it's up to the prior to implement them. So there is kind of a legislative, executive checks and balances there that operates in our life. And so I'm experiencing that in a new way, too.
Mm-hmm. How interesting.
Well, we're happy for you.
Well, one more plug for prayers. We're having a vocations weekend this weekend at the House of Studies. So we have 30 young men from around the country who are going to be with us till Sunday, just checking out the life and seeing if, in fact, God is calling them in this direction.
That's great.
I just want to say how grateful we are that you have been such a integral part of Morning Glory, and with your new responsibilities, we know it will be more challenging, but we want you to stay with us as much as you can.
And I'm going to try my best to do so for as long as I can.
Please
thank you.
We'll miss you, Reverend Dr. Deep Fried, if you leave. You can't do that. And may I say, let me make sure, Pryor is no relation to Richard, right?
That's right. It's P-R-I-O-R.
That's right. Yeah. the young people are like, Richard Pryor, who's that?
And by the way,
foul mouth, but very funny comedian.
Yeah, don't Google that.
No. Do not look for it, please. No. Yeah. Sorry. No, do not do that.
All right, we are celebrating St. Maurice today, and Father's going to talk more about this Swiss saint and his companions in just a little bit. But in the meantime, we have the cause, the sainthood cause of another to talk about next.
Yeah, Father Stanley Rother. And we're going to talk to our friend, Dr. Matthew Bunsen, EWTN senior correspondent, all-around cool guy. So make sure you listen up, and we can probably even ask him a little bit about St. Maurice, because I thought I heard he was Egyptian.
That's right.
Let's find out after the break, next on Morning Glory.
Catholic from the start, because every new morning is a gift. This is Morning Glory.
The National Catholic Register is America's most complete Catholic news source, with a comprehensive view of the world from a distinctly Catholic perspective. For the latest issues, people, and events shaping the world as we know it, visit ncregister.com. As an EWTN media missionary, your task is to prayerfully take EWTN to your parish and community through the print and electronic media we provide. Visit EWTNmissionaries.com today and join us in sharing the eternal word with the world.
Hi, this is Dan Burke from the National Catholic Register.
Hello, this is Bishop David O'Connell of the Diocese of Trenton.
Hi, this is Teresa Tomeo, host of Catholic Connection, and thanks for listening to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
At Morning Glory, we never sleep. Connect with us on Facebook.
And it's Friday. It's 16 after the hour. I'm Gloria Purvis. You're listening to Morning Glory on EWTN Catholic Radio. My co-host is Brian Patrick. Our producer, Lisa Murphy, is out. And in her stead, we have Sean Pierce. Our godly counsel is the Reverend Dr. Deep Fried, Dominican. Father Quanis Gilbo, he's the new prior at the Dominican House of Studies. We're so glad to have him. And all-around cool guy, senior contributor and senior editor of the Register, Dr. Matthew Bunsen's in studio with us. Good morning.
Good morning. And that first title is the most important, all-around cool guy.
All-around cool guy.
Yeah, be called cool by you.
If Bunsen is cool,
that's right,
and I'm a hot mess.
No, you're all cool guys.
So there's also Matt the Bat, I think, in a rare occasions I do the sports.
That's right.
I have a lot of hats.
You do. Mm-hmm. And a lot of nicknames. I won't go through them because somebody told me one of them they didn't like. So I won't go through my other. You're my favorite.
Gotcha.
Yes, you got it. All right.
I have no idea what you're talking about, but please continue.
Right. So tell us about, you know, for those who aren't familiar, who is Father Stanley Rother? I know he has a beatification coming up in Oklahoma tomorrow,
right? In fact, yes. Mm-hmm. Father Stanley Rother was the first U.S.-born martyr.
Mm.
And that's a significant event given the very long and great history of American Catholics. He was killed in 1981, a martyr for the faith, in Guatemala. Caring for the indigenous peoples that he served as a missionary, as somebody who took care of them, who helped bring them to Christ, and who found himself caught up, as so many of these martyrs do, in the political crises of his era, in this case the Guatemalan Civil War. And he had to be evacuated from Guatemala, but willingly went back to his flock, knowing full well that he was probably going to be killed.
Who was it that killed him?
It's a little unclear as to who exactly did it. It was probably some sort of a Guatemalan death squad that had been persecuting the Indians that he worked with and had threatened him on a number of occasions. There were some trials of his murderers, but those sentences were eventually evacuated, and to this day, it's something of a scandal.
How old was Father?
He's about 46.
Brother. Young man.
He was, yeah. And a great story, too, of... as often is the case with saints and blesseds, had a hard time getting into seminary and getting out of seminary.
Oh, wow.
Struggled with Latin.
Oh, you know, it's funny.
Not the first, not the last.
John Vianney comes to mind. David Brewster comes to mind.
Yeah. Now, I'm just curious, is he from Oklahoma? Why does Oklahoma have him?
He was from a small town in Oklahoma. I won't even try to pronounce it. I don't want to offend anybody.
Right.
Your Oklahomese needs some work.
Yes, it does. Yeah.
Oklahomese?
Something I need to work on.
Oklahomese,
yes.
Oklahomese.
Or is it Oklahomian? Send your emails to Brian.
Right. MorningGlory@EWTN.com.
But he was from a small town in Oklahoma and felt called to the priesthood and struggled with that because he'd grown up in a farming community and was not initially prepared for the intellectual rigor of the seminary and really had a hard time and at first despaired. But through his bishop, through his friends, a lot of priests supporting him, he went back to the seminary. And with the help of the rector, I think at Mount St. Mary's, got through the program and was ordained. And of course, history has proven, as is often the case, that these young men who at first seem so unfit, or who have somewhat dubious credentials, God has called them and God wants them here. to serve.
And so he was a diocesan priest. He didn't belong to a religious order.
In the 1968 or so, he felt called to go to the Guatemala missions. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those fateful decisions. I think, for example, of Damien de Wooster, who mm-hmm. all the way in Belgium felt this call to go to the Pacific. To right. Hawaii, of all places, somewhere he probably wasn't even sure where it was. and Father Stanley, who struggled with Latin, managed to pick up not just Spanish, but also the very difficult native language of this village.
Oh, wow.
That had no record, no written record of how to even pronounce it. But he, with his love, with his service, he found the way.
Oh, that's amazing just to see what God does with a willing soul. And it may not look to man's eyes like, oh, that this is priestly material. But look, definitely he was and now about to be made a saint.
Well, and he's a role model, too, for evangelization, mm-hmm. that we have to go where God wants us to. We discern in our lives what he wants. And sometimes it's going to bring us to a place that we had not anticipated.
Yeah, you ended up in Washington, D.C.
I did. Right. in a host of surprising ways.
Yes. From Hawaii, no
I
less.
Think you're pretty happy. Yeah, you started in Hawaii. With mm-hmm.
I did, yeah. I keep moving east. I was in California, then I was in Indiana, now I'm in Washington. I figure by the time I retire, I'll be living in the Azores.
Right. There are worse places.
You're not allowed to retire, Matthew. Sorry.
Yeah, I have no plans to retire.
So settle for us, St. Maurice, Swiss or Egyptian?
Egyptian.
Really?
By birth, by tradition. In fact, he's greatly honored in the Coptic churches, the much persecuted Coptic churches today. He was reputedly the commander of what was called the Theban Legion.
What does that mean?
It was a legion, you know, the Roman army, mm-hmm. of, by tradition, about 6,000 soldiers, mm-hmm. all of whom converted.
What?
And subsequently, all of them were martyred under the Emperor Maximian around 286 for refusing to worship pagan deities. But Father, I know you have more to add to
and
that.
And then that occurred in Switzerland, so that's why he's exactly. certainly associated with Switzerland.
Okay.
And there's a little town, St. Maurice, bears his name, where the martyrdom took place. And in that town, where his relics are, there's a monastery that's existed there since the year 515.
Oh, wow. You know,
so at the site of the martyrdom of St. Maurice and where his relics are enshrined, there's been a monastic community there in constant presence since the year 515. In fact, the establishment of the monastery is very well, the historical record there is very well, very good. We even have the homily preached by the bishop who came over from Burgundy, which is modern-day France, to establish the monastery, and it's a beautiful place. And so today is a special feast day for the church in Switzerland. And it's the reason why St. Maurice and his legion was killed was because as they were brought over from Egypt to Switzerland to put down local insurrections, the order came to attack certain Christian villages, which they refused to do. And because they refused, they were first subject to orders of what they called decimation, which is to say every 10th soldier,
Deci,
was to be killed. And that happened twice, and they still refused to attack these villages. And because of their perseverance in the faith, the order came for the entire legion to be destroyed. And so St. Maurice and his companions, today is their feast day, and so we ask for their intercession, certainly for strength in the face of difficulty in remaining true to the faith.
Well, you know, just in terms of thinking Swiss or Egyptian, that's not uncommon for saints, right? That people will, like St. Patrick, everybody thinks he's Irish, but he's not. Are there other saints like that that you can think of off the top of your head?
Well, I mean, the list is almost endless of some of the great missionaries leaving from.
Or just St. Francis Xavier Cabrini, you know, who's the first American saint, but was in fact an Italian. The church history is
even Francis Xavier.
That's right.
Usher in one of the greatest ages of evangelization. Mm-hmm. He certainly was not Chinese or Japanese.
Spanish himself. Right.
So see, Brian, it was all right to call him Swiss.
Yeah, yeah.
It was all right.
But if Bunsen keeps calling St. Francis Xavier, he's going to run out of Cincinnati.
Yes, that is a long-running problem.
Yeah. Speaking of how do you say stuff, we got an email from Teresa Hurt, who listens in Oklahoma.
Oh, yeah.
Okarcha. Okarcha, perhaps, is the way you pronounce that name. I don't know where
Okarcha.
The accent.
Well, thank you.
Okarcha.
That's helpful.
She said it's famous for Father Rother and chicken at the oldest bar in Oklahoma.
And I actually met Brian. I actually met Teresa Hurt when I was out there Oklahoma City Women's Conference, and she sang a song that I'll never forget her name. I'm not gonna sing it, but it's like "There's a Hurt." That's how I'll always remember her name.
I'm not entirely sure if I'm pronouncing it right, but for some reason I know that the famous chicken place is called either Isker or Isher.
Now we're going to get another email. Not to mention everybody's saying it's Xavier. Xavier.
Okay, so we should start getting dividends from the Oklahoma Tourism Bureau. Yeah. Wow. What's that email address again? Morning Glory.
MorningGlory@EWTN.com. Write us early and often.
When we go to Okarcha, we are expecting free chicken.
There you go.
Key to the city.
I like it.
One thing, though, the National Catholic Register, I interviewed Archbishop Paul Coakley, the Archbishop of Oklahoma City, on this beatification on Father Stanley. Mm-hmm. And it was a great interview. And I would encourage everyone to go to ncregister.com. You can read the interview. It's beautiful in his explanation of Father Stanley, his spirituality, mm-hmm. and why this matters, mm-hmm. Not just in Oklahoma, but for the whole country.
I'm hoping that Oklahoma then gets to know Father Rother instead of Timothy McVeigh. That's great. Mm-hmm.
Well, in New England this morning, there's a massive Christian burial for Cheryl Murphy, the mother of our dear Elisa Murphy. It's at St. Thomas More in Narragansett, Rhode Island. I just heard from Elisa, who sends her love and prayers to everyone, as we do for her. And she said that she is on her way now to St. Thomas More for that funeral. So keep Elisa and her family in prayer, and may her mother rest in peace. Elisa said she'll be back with us on Monday. In the meantime, we thank Sean Pierce for filling in this week, doing a great job with us. We have all your news coming up on Morning Glory. Now the death toll is up above 270 from the earthquake in Mexico City. That's straight ahead, as well as the update on the hurricanes that went through the Caribbean, devastating the island of Dominica and doing heavy damage in Puerto Rico.
You know, I was watching something yesterday on Twitter, a science thing about what made the earthquake in Mexico particularly difficult is when air gets in sand, it acts like liquid. And so with the air going quickly in the sand, having the earth shake, things would just get swallowed. So that was an interesting science tidbit about what made the earthquake in Mexico also especially difficult, is that it was like the sand was just swallowing things and people.
Well, if you've ever been to Mexico City, it looks very precarious.
I've never been.
On an everyday basis.
Oh, wow. I've never been.
A major earthquake would just...
Yeah, the pictures have been harrowing. Prayers for everyone down there.
Let's continue to pray for them. Well, we pray for each of you, and we thank you for spending every minute that you do with Morning Glory on EWTN Radio. We thank Guadalupe Radio Network for hosting us at Guadalupe Studios in Washington, D.C., and we have your news next. It's now 28 after the hour, right here on Morning Glory.
Catholic from the start, because every new morning is a gift. Morning Glory.
Morning Glory.
All people are called to communion with Christ in the church that he founded.
People really gravitate to David Andrews and his concern for the callers. That's not just talk. He really means it.
Tom and I are both converts. We've walked that path, and we try to walk it with the listeners at whatever stage of the journey they're on.
It's EWTN's first weekly radio-to-TV talk show, Call to Communion with Dr. David Andrews, tomorrow at 5 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Television.
Catherine Zeltner.
There are so many misconceptions when it comes to abortion and assisted suicide. It's really confusing, and I think for a lot of people, they don't know how to talk about these things. EWTN Pro-Life Weekly, we help to change that. We help to really untangle these web of lies. Listeners can expect to become informed and then grow more confident so that they can then discuss and dialogue these issues, and together we can really impact culture in that way.
EWTN Pro-Life Weekly, Sunday morning at 10 a.m. on EWTN Radio.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
The only thing new about the heresies in the church and the schisms in the church today is it's mixed with satanic worship. We in the church have gone from enneagrams to centering prayer to solstice worship to goddesses. And you buy it as something new.
For more information on Mother Angelica, visit Religious Catalog at EWTNRC.com.
EWTN is now on Twitter. Get short, timely messages from EWTN on your computer or cell phone. It's easy to stay up to date on a wide variety of topics. Pro-life news, Vatican announcements, catechesis, apologetics, the latest EWTN programming, and more. You can link to EWTN on Twitter from our homepage or go to twitter.com/EWTN. At work, at home, at school, and on the road, stay connected to your world with EWTN's Twitter page.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
On the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network, live from Capitol Hill, this is Morning Glory.
And it is half past the hour on this 22nd day of September. Fall begins this afternoon across the Northern Hemisphere, and we're glad that you're waking up with Morning Glory on EWTN Radio. Good morning, I'm Brian Patrick, along with Gloria Purvis.
Good morning.
We have Dr. Matthew Bunsen in studio with us, along with Sean Pierce, who is in for Elisa Murphy as our producer. And our godly counsel, Father Aquinas Gilbo, begins our half hour with prayer.
Let us pray. O God, who founded all the commands of your sacred law upon love of you and of our neighbor, grant that by keeping your precepts, we may merit to attain eternal life. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
Amen.
Father, we'll talk with former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee in just a few minutes as Morning Glory continues here on EWTN Radio. And Gloria has her musing straight ahead.
Yeah, I want to talk about angels. So stay tuned for that. Let's tease that out, especially when I've seen another troubling news story about demons. So we need to talk about the angels.
And a reminder that Holy Mass from Our Lady of the Angels Chapel at the top of the hour on most of these EWTN affiliates. 4 days after a powerful earthquake devastated parts of Mexico City, the official death toll rises to 273. Mexican President Enrique Peña Nieto says rescuers will continue their work as long as they believe there are people alive in the rubble. The Mexican government says most of the power knocked out by that powerful quake has now been restored. As Puerto Rico and the Caribbean islands begin to recover from Hurricane Maria, Admiral Kurt Kidd says U.S. forces are trying to rescue Americans stuck on the island nation of Dominica, the first hit by Maria.
We understand there may be anywhere from 1,500 to 3,000 American citizens potentially in Dominica. So part of this is just understanding the size and the scope of the problem.
President Trump is promising to visit Puerto Rico. No official date for that visit has been set yet. Facebook reverses its position, now saying it will turn over to Congress copies of more than 3,000 political ads bought through Russian accounts during the 2016 U.S. presidential election. Facebook founder and very rich CEO Mark Zuckerberg apologizes for his company's lax policing of foreign interference.
I don't want anyone to use our tools to undermine democracy. That's not what we stand for.
He says Facebook has already turned over much of this information to the special counsel Robert Mueller, who is investigating Russian interference in the 2016 presidential election. Diplomatic efforts to restrain North Korea taking another step forward. President Trump announcing new financial sanctions.
Our new executive order enhances the Treasury Department's authorities to target any individual or entity that conducts significant trade in goods, services, or technology with North Korea.
The president delivered a very aggressive speech at the UN General Assembly this week, and former presidential advisor Sebastian Gorka says he helped write the speech.
It's a clarion call for the United Nations to return to what it originally was. United Nations should concentrate on true measures to provide stability and safety for all its members.
With all the tough talk, U.S. Ambassador to the U.N. Nikki Haley makes it clear the U.S. still favors diplomacy first.
We continue to go through diplomatic measures. We continue to exhaust everything we have. And the key right now is that other countries actually support the sanctions and follow through with them. And they also continue to isolate North Korea.
North Korea's leader Kim Jong-un dismisses President Trump as deranged, a dotard, that means weak-minded, saying he will pay dearly for his threats. I know that the president bounced back with more language this morning, but we'll just move on from that.
I can't believe we have these two leaders playing what we call the dozens. Like they're just going after each other.
With nuclear weapons?
With nuclear, yeah, for sure.
A bipartisan coalition of Medicaid directors from every state going on record unanimously opposing the latest attempt to roll back Obamacare. These directors note, while the GOP proposal is intended to create maximum flexibility in choosing insurance plans, they say it does not provide the resources, legal mandates, and funding to make sure millions of Americans don't lose their current health care. On Thursday's EWTN Pro-Life Weekly, host Catherine Zeltner highlighted Camp No Limits, a summer camp for children who have lost a limb. And Catherine talked with camper Jesse Martin.
I have always wondered whether I was just alone with my condition,
but Camp No Limits has helped me realize that there's a lot of kids out there like me, and it's just a really amazing camp.
An amazing camp for an amazing kid. The camp has 10 locations nationwide. You can watch an encore of Pro-Life Weekly with Catherine Zeltner Sunday morning at 10 Eastern on EWTN television. And one of the oldest and most prestigious choirs in the world returns to the United States for a tour. The Sistine Chapel Choir sang this week at Washington's Basilica of the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception. 30 boys, 22 men, known as the Pope's Choir because they sing for the Holy Father's liturgies. Bob Schwartz is with Ave Maria Mutual Fund, sponsor of the choir's U.S. tour.
People are looking for, searching for truth and beauty and goodness, and sacred music of this caliber really allows people to reach that, to achieve that.
I sang with the Boys Town Choir many, many years ago as a bass, and I remember even as a kid, the sanctity of that music that we sang was very, very healing and comforting, Father.
Yeah, I'm happy to see that that the choir is going on tour because just within the past few years, they put in tremendous resources to improving the choir. And anyone who's been or studied in Rome or been in Rome, let's say over the last 10 years, will note that improvement.
Was it bad before?
Well, they had a reputation for being... they weren't called the Sistine Screamers for nothing.
And, yes, I did not know. What a juicy tidbit.
Yeah, I know.
And so, mm-hmm. But I have to say, they've gotten in a lot better in recent years, and they merit this tour. So wherever they go, I would encourage people to go out and listen.
Yeah, the performance here in D.C. the other night was extraordinary.
Yeah, it was last night, no? Was it night before?
Night before.
By the way, that's going to air on EWTN's In Concert with Jacqueline Larry Warsaw coming up, I think, on the 22nd of October.
So, Brian, there was a story that came out of the Philippines about this priest who was basically... kidnapped by this group. I guess it's called the Maute group. They're basically is Islamic radicalists. And he was recently freed. He wasn't. Mm-hmm. He was rescued. And the priest, while he was in their clutches, converted. Now you say air quotes. You can't see that. Converted to Islam. And so his Bishop Edwin de la Peña of the Diocese of Marawi City says, look, we still consider him a Catholic priest. You cannot consider that full conversion. There is no substance to it. If you are under duress, you cannot give your full consent. That's what religion is all about. Whatever it is, true or not, it doesn't hold any water for me. So he's still a Catholic priest. And so I want to talk with Deep Fried about that and see how does this play with consent and, you know, conversion or not?
Now, consent is something very important in the Christian life and in human life. And in fact, law, our civil law recognizes, the need for consent in terms of, let's say, guilt for a crime in many cases, for the legality of marriage. Mm-hmm. And it was the church, it was Christian reflection on these realities, especially of marriage, that helped our Western civil tradition come to a deeper understanding of something like consent, especially in terms of marriage. But it's all rooted in the kind of creature God has made us to be, which is to say we have free choice in choosing those actions that lead us to Him. Also, free choice in choosing those actions that lead us away from Him. Consent, freedom, is the very foundation of our responsibility. It's what's necessary for us to either merit a reward or to merit some punishment. You know, if your kid, if Lord does something, bad, it's unimaginable.
Oh, yeah, but, never.
but if she were, because she was, maybe forced by a friend to do so, you as a mother would realize, okay, well, her responsibility here is mitigated because it wasn't, in a sense, her fault. She didn't consent to the act, So we know this, in everyday life. In terms of, the conversion, quote unquote, conversion of this priest, the bishop is right, obviously, that if he was under duress or either, force or fear, we do things that we wouldn't ordinarily do because we lack the freedom.
Yeah,
exactly.
Probably did it to survive.
Oh, yeah.
And how important is it to reiterate there is no compulsion in religion?
Right.
Mm. Yeah.
Right.
It is our choice.
And that's the thing, how God, in making us free, continues to respect that freedom, not just respect that freedom, and perfects our freedom.
Yeah, even God won't force us to love Him.
That's right.
That's right. But in choosing to love Him, our freedom is perfected, and so that's That's part of the mystery here.
Okay. It's almost 20 till now. We're going to have to move on to Morning Glory Musings right after a quick look at sports. The Indians win their 27th game in 28 games. Francisco Lindor's three-run homer, the difference in the Indians' 4-1 verdict of the Angels. A little football news, too. The L.A. Rams now 2-1 after Jared Goff threw for 292 yards and three touchdowns in a 41-39 win over San Francisco. It's 20 till now, time for our Friday Morning Glory Musings.
So I saw this article coming out about this woman who says she's a witch, and she says she can cure people from diseases, including cancer, by talking to demons and making pacts with Satan. And I just thought, first of all, the devil's a liar. Don't believe anything like that. And it made me reflect on angels, especially since I've been talking about angels and creation and all that, because Lourdes has had all these additional questions as she's seeing things around and about. She's having a lot of questions about good and evil and the role of angels and why can't we see them. And so talking to her and explaining that angels are spirit, they have knowledge, and they exist to love and serve God, and that she has her own personal angel, a guardian angel that is there to protect her and to help her toward the good. And she thought that that was actually amazing, that there's this angel that she can't see, can't hear, but tries to help her move toward the good by, you know, whatever impulses she may feel toward doing what is right. Because she has a big thing about when she gets to be a teenager, the fact that, you know, she's going to have sin on her. That really is bothering her, this notion that as she gets older, sin is going to be on her. What can she do to protect herself from it? And so we've been talking about that and in introducing to her to the fact that she has a guardian angel. And it made me think, you know, we all have a guardian angel. Have you talked to them lately? They exist to help you get to heaven. And it also made me think about how, you know, we truly are not alone. The fact that we have this personal helper that's there to love us and help us get to heaven. I mean, we should never really despair of that. We need to think about that. And I think we should try to develop our relationship with the guardian angel and try to develop our sensitivity to the promptings we might get from them. And, you know, so forget all this nonsense about, you know, talking to demons and all this. Forget all that. Talk to your guardian angel. That's where goodness is going to come into your life.
Yeah, it reminds me of our conversation that we had last week on the Feast of Our Lady of Sorrows. You know, that, you know, sometimes, and not just our Protestant brothers and sisters, but also fellow Catholics can get a little nervous, you know, with this angel talk. Last week we talked about how, you know, all of our Mary talk might make some people nervous. But in talking about Our Lady of Sorrows, I mean, you have a direct biblical foundation for that devotion. Mary standing at the foot of the cross, participating in Christ's passion. Well, you have a similar biblical foundation for our belief in guardian angels. Our Lord himself mentions in one of the Gospels the angels, you know, of the children who, not the children themselves, but the angels who see God, that there's some special relationship that God himself creates between, you know, angels and us. And because of their superior intellects, because they participate more in God's life at this point in our own human history, that they can be special helpers and friends in God's drawing us, you know, to himself. And so, yeah, we should develop a devotion to the angels in general, just as we reverence the whole of God's creation, that they are fellow creatures with us, but that God has given them a particular mission to help us to know what they know, to love what they love, and we thank God for that.
And not being afraid to... Go ahead, Brian.
I like Gloria's point that we as adults have angels. Didn't Jesus actually have an angel help him through the agony in the garden?
These are attested to in Scripture. That's where the angels ministered to him.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was going to say that, and to turn to your guardian angel at moments of temptation, of personal despair, they're there.
This is true. And if you forget that they're angels, remember, we're about to celebrate the 100th anniversary of Fatima, and we got that Fatima prayer from the angel telling the kids, you know, add this on, say this, so, you know what... What is it? I'm blanking out now.
Jesus.
Oh, my Jesus. Forgive us our sins. Save us from the fires of hell and lead all souls to heaven.
And the St. Michael prayer after Mass.
St. Michael prayer. That's right. The Holy Father at the time had,
Pope Leo XIII,
had a vision, right?
You guys remember the movie Michael with John Travolta?
Don't
go there.
It was bad, I think, right?
Don't Google that either.
Hollywood loves angels, but they get it all wrong.
all the time they do.
Absolutely.
Angels in the Outfield.
All right.
Oh, I never saw that one.
Yeah. So, Father, we have have a special guest coming up.
That's right. Former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee is going to join us to talk about his new show. He's moved from Fox. He's going to TBN. And he joins us to talk about its October premiere. So stay with us. Morning Glory here on EWTN Radio.
Every new morning is a gift. This is Morning Glory.
Be a part of Mother Angelica's mission. EWTN Radio is seeking a dynamic producer to join our growing radio team. The EWTN Radio producer is responsible for managing all aspects of live and recorded programs, develops program ideas consistent with EWTN's mission, and collaborates with the leading voices in Catholic radio. For all the details about this exciting opportunity, click on employment at EWTN.com.
EWTN Radio Classics is our 24/7 teaching and devotionals channel straight from the EWTN archives. Go classic with EWTN Radio Classics online at EWTNradio.net and on the EWTN app.
EWTN is now on Twitter. Get short, timely messages from EWTN on your computer or cell phone. It's easy to stay up to date on a wide variety of topics. Pro-life news, Vatican announcements, catechesis, apologetics, the latest EWTN programming, and more. You can link to EWTN on Twitter from our homepage or go to twitter.com/EWTN. At work, at home, at school, and on the road, stay connected to your world with EWTN's Twitter page.
Hello, this is Bishop Robert Baker from the Diocese of Birmingham in Alabama.
I'm Peggy Normandin, but you can call me Catholic.
Hello, friends. This is Father Wade Menezes of the Fathers of Mercy. Thanks for listening to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
We value your opinion. Email morningglory@EWTN.com.
Thank you, God, for Friday. And we also thank our Father for each of you who listen to Morning Glory on a regular basis. We want to encourage you to make the way home much more interesting with Cresta in the Afternoon here on EWTN, the Global Catholic Radio Network. Good morning from EWTN's Guadalupe Studios in Washington, D.C. I'm Brian Patrick with Gloria Purvis.
Good morning.
In studio with us today, we have Dr. Matthew Bunsen, Sean Pierce producing the show, and our godly counsel, now the prior of the Dominican House of Studies in D.C., Father Aquinas Gilbo.
It's a great honor and privilege to have former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee join us on the phone. Governor Huckabee, welcome to Morning Glory.
Well, thank you, Brian. Great to be with you this morning.
That's Father Aquinas talking to you.
That's all right. Mike,
yeah. Oh, okay.
Brian's in the background on this one.
We're often
don't
confused.
Don't want to insult the father first thing.
No.
No.
If you could see him, he looks point. Very different. Yeah. Got the Dominican white
say,
on.
Forgive me, Father.
That's not really a sin yet.
With you, Governor, all is forgiven.
There you go.
Well, thank you for joining us. And a lot of our listeners are going to remember you certainly as the former governor of Arkansas, but also from your presidential campaigns, but then also your seven-year run on Fox News, your weekend show there. But you're here to talk about a new venture you have. You're moving that show to the Trinity Broadcasting Network, TBN, and it premieres next month. So tell us about this new show and what you hope to achieve with it.
Well, I love doing the show on the Fox News channel, and frankly, anticipated it would come back. But when Roger Ailes left the network, there were a lot of things that were in the hopper that went away as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so TBN had approached me and asked would I be interested in doing something, which for them is a big different venture, because they've always done strictly religious programming, and this will be their first foray into something that is not a religious content program. Now, I think the best way to describe what I do, and it's going to be very comparable to what I did at Fox.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a Christian television show, but it's a television show that does happen to be hosted by a person who is unapologetically a believer. And so it will have a flavor of that. I like to say it's going to be a show that's not going to be offensive to a non-believer. Mm. It's not going to be, you know, a proselytizing type of show.
Right.
But it will also be a show that is wholesome.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to have to run the kids out of the room because of the content or because of the language. We're going to have fun guests from all over the political and ideological spectrum, but they will be treated with respect, even if they are 180 degrees polar opposite of me, because that's my view and conviction that If you are a host, you treat people as your honored guest. And if you are a guest, you act like a guest, and you don't put your feet up on the coffee table and get mud all over it and right. spit food on the floor. And
like they do in Arkansas.
Wow.
Well, yeah, well, not all the time.
No.
Well, you know. Well, Governor.
Frankly, I watch some of the cable news, and it's just a yelling match, and I can't even understand what's being said.
Well, Governor, I'm a Southerner. I'm from South Carolina, from the beautiful city, genteel city of Charleston, and we call that having home training, that you know how to act when you go places. So that's what I was thinking of. But I understand you're going to have your first guest is going to be very huge, that is the President of the United States. It's huge.
Yeah. President Trump will be the first guest, which, you know, it kind of gives us a good start to say we're going to take on serious issues. We'll have serious newsmakers. And I'm very grateful that we'll be able to start, because I think there'll be a lot of people who will watch, whether they love or hate Donald Trump, they'll watch because they never know what's going to happen. And that's a good way for us to get started. And then I trust they'll stay for the rest of the show. They're going to see a wide variety of things. It's not all politics. We're going to have a feature called Huck's Heroes, where we'll feature people that maybe you've never heard of, but they've done something really extraordinary that helped other people, and they did it selflessly and sacrificially, but they're the people that truly do make America great. And we'll have a lot of music, because, hey, we're in Nashville. I mean, you yeah. don't go to Nashville and not do music. So it's going to be an entertaining show, an informative show, I hope an inspirational show. And even when we deal with issues, the big difference that you'll see is this. It's not going to be political ping pong, where you have a Democrat and a Republican, each of whom are jousting each other with their talking points and arguing. It's going to be a thoughtful discussion to say, okay, if let's talk about health care, let's explain what these terms mean. Let's help the person sitting at his or her kitchen table or living room understand how a particular proposal would affect them. Take away all the inflammatory rhetoric of this is the end of the world, or no, this is the greatest thing since toothpaste, and try to say, this isn't perfect, but maybe it's better than this, or maybe it's worse. That's how I want to approach it, and to have an honest discussion of issues, because frankly, I'm tired of it, and I'm very ideological. Don't get me wrong. I'm unabashedly.
But you were very civil about it, Governor Huckabee. This is Brian now. You were very civil about it, and I've admired you throughout the years because of your taking the high road. By the way, you're an excellent speaker. I'm glad you morphed from politics into communications, because God has blessed you with that ability. But my question is, when in this country will we see the value of taking the high road and speaking civilly versus name-calling that we just see so much of? When do you think we'll ever see that?
I don't know. You know, I hope so. But what has happened? The Internet has given people the ability to be unbelievably hateful and rude, and to do it anonymously, so there's no accountability. And I think that's where we've come to this. Some people, obviously, who occupy a point on a stage and that they're provocative because that gets them viewers or readers or listeners, whatever. But the vast amount of the population becomes increasingly harsh and coarse, because they're never held to a standard. They don't publish their real name. They don't put out there when they tweet or put on something Facebook that, you know, here's how to reach me and you can really have a conversation with me. So they can just spout angry and hateful, really vicious rhetoric, and no one ever holds them accountable. And I think it shows a level of cowardice and weakness on the part of those who do it. I enjoy engaging in rigorous debate, but not just hateful put-down speech, which is somewhat what we see most of the time.
So, Governor Huckabee, I have to ask, your daughter, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, serves as President Trump's press secretary, and it's I think people have been rather cruel. What advice have you been giving her in dealing with the negativity from people?
You know, Sarah is such a tough kid, and you being a Southerner, you'll understand this. I always say, when a Southern woman starts the sentence with "Bless your heart," you better stand back. You don't know it, but you're about to be gutted like a deer.
Right.
So she has enough of that Southern charm. But you know, Sarah is very even-keeled and even-tempered, and she prays and reads a devotion from a devotional book just before she goes out to do the press briefing every day. Mm. And as a result, I think she has shown a calm, an evenness. She's tough. She doesn't hold back. But she's never angry. She doesn't escalate the temperature in the room, mm-hmm. even when the reporters are attempting to escalate tension. She just doesn't allow herself to be pulled into it. I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that Sarah has three preschoolers at home. I think that she's used to having someone ask the same question.
That's great training for the White House press room.
Yeah, the preschoolers, a bunch of preschoolers.
That's right. Governor Huckabee, we're going to have to, we're coming up to the end of the show, but we want to thank you for coming on. God bless. On the new show, we invite all of our listeners to check out the premiere that's going to be on October 7th at 8 p.m. Eastern on the Trinity Broadcasting Network. God bless you and your family, Governor, and all the success with the show.
Thank you. Appreciate being on today. Thank you so much.
Hope to have you back. Mm-hmm. It's almost 6 minutes till now, and we have a little Catholic chatter with
Gloria. Oh, my gosh. We had so much feedback on how to pronounce these names. Okay, so the verdict is it's Okarchi and it's Ishens for all those pronunciations for Oklahoma City.
That's in Oklahoma.
Yes.
All right. Thank you so much. So, Father, in today's eighth chapter of Luke's Gospel, we read that there were women traveling with the disciples, with Jesus.
That's right. And what's impressive about this Gospel passage from Luke 8 is just that we see that wherever Christ goes, a community gathers. And that's just the essence of the church. I mean, where the word is preached, where the sacraments are celebrated, there's a community that gathers. Grace binds us together in Christ, and we have the Spirit as the bond of charity among us. And that's a very important feature of the Christian life.
Yeah, Mary, Joanna, and others traveling with the Lord. Thank you, Father Aquinas Gilbo, the prior of the Dominican House of Studies. We'll see
you
next week.
Yes, I'll be here next week.
Oh, good.
I hope they don't inundate you all week with new responsibilities. Gloria, we look forward to having Elisa back.
Yeah, that'll be nice to see Elisa on Monday, and good to see you again on Monday, too.
Yeah,
and Monsignor Charles Pope.
Mm-hmm. Students for Life joining us. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Have a blessed Friday, a good weekend, and we'll talk with you Monday right here on Morning Glory.
Catholic from the start, because every new morning is a gift.